as we think about Yom Yerushalayim, the 50th year of Yom Yerushalayim coming up next week on Wednesday, so we also think about so many different episodes, so many different chapters of the city of Yerushalayim for the last thousands of years. And one of the fascinating and, of course, heart-wrenching episodes is the destruction of not just the Beis Hamikdash, but the destruction of Yerushalayim itself. And we know, just based on the description in the Nevi'im, how difficult and how just absolutely ubiquitous, how humiliating the circumstances in Yerushalayim were, the starvation, the torture, everything that is described by the Navi Yirmiyahu, and so much what's described in the keynotes that we read about in Tisha B'Av, that had as much to do with the destruction of the city of Yerushalayim as the Beis Hamikdash itself. So there's a discussion in the Rishonim, in the Mishnayis and in the Gemara, as to when did the destruction of Yerushalayim take place. And for those of you knowledgeable about Jewish history or halacha, will immediately, automatically say Shivasar B'Tammuz. And in fact, it is what the Mishnah says in Maseches Tanis, towards the end of Maseches Tanis, and the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Yud Ches and Beis. The Mishnah says that on the 17th day of Tammuz, Hufka Ha'ir, the walls of the city were breached, the city began to be destroyed, and that joins the rest of the list of five things that took place on the 17th day of Tammuz. Now, the problem with the Mishnah is a very simple problem, namely, is that really true? Because the Navi in Sefer Yirmiyahu said that the city of Yerushalayim was breached, the destruction began, not on the 17th day of Tammuz, but in fact, on the 9th day of Tammuz. So which one was it, the 17th day or the 19th day? So this is a fundamental, if I might say, a fascinating machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli, Daf Chav Ches and Beis, Sechus Tanis, says that the first Yerushalayim during the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash took place on the 9th day of Tammuz, and the destruction of Yerushalayim during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash took place on the 17th day of Tammuz. Now that led to a discussion in the Rishonim, most prominently by the Ritva, but by others as well, that after the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash and of Yerushalayim, so a fast had been instituted on the 9th day of Tammuz to commemorate when Yerushalayim was destroyed the first time. And how was it that the Chachamim made that fast that all of a sudden it was okay, all of a sudden was uprooted once the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? And in fact, the Ritva said that the fast days commemorated after the first Beis Hamikdash never stopped being commemorated. All during the times of Bayisheni, the Jews still kept fasting on the 10th day of Teves, which is when the Babylonians had surrounded Yerushalayim. The Jews continued to fast during that period of time, during Tzom Gedaliah, and they continued fasting even when the Beit HaMikdash was around. They continued fasting on the 9th day of Tammuz to commemorate the destruction of Yerushalayim the first time. And the Ritva and others, they say, why? Why is it that those fasts were never batel, were never negated? So the Ritva made a fascinating statement. He doesn't say how he knows it. He doesn't quote sources. But the Ritva said that even during the time of Bayisheni, people knew that Beis Hamikdash was destined to be destroyed. And therefore, because they knew that this was not the final chapter in the redemption of the Jewish people, they maintained the fast from the first go-around, from the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, because the Korban essentially never really ended, because they knew that this Beis Hamikdash would once again be destroyed. So that's the case. Hajar Kashal Adukta, namely, let's go back to the original question. if the fast of the ninth day of Tammuz was never negated, it was never batel, so why did that change with the destruction of Yerushalayim the second time around on the seventh day of Tammuz? So the Ritva said very simply that the Chachamim knew they could not institute two different fast days commemorating Yerushalayim in such a short period of time. That would mean you would have the ninth day of Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz, the ninth day of Av, three fast days all within a month. And therefore, the Chachamim said that we have to only maintain one of those two fast days. And the Ritva said that seeing that the destruction of Yerushalayim the second time, the Beit Hamikdash the second time, was more chamor, it was chosen to use or leave or create 70th day of Tammuz as a fast day. So what does the Ritva mean when he says that it's more chamor? Presumably you would say the reverse, that the destruction of the first day of Hamikdash is more chamor. It seems as though more people died. The Beit Hamikdash itself was a place of greater beauty, and a greater intensification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah. So why was it that the Ritva said that the destruction the second time around was chamor, was more chamor? You know, presumably, what the Ritva means is that seeing that we are still in that Golus now, and seeing that after the time of the second Beit Hamikdash, the Jews permanently dispersed to Rome, to Europe, to other places, in a way that was certainly much more intense, much more far-reaching than after the first Beit Hamikdash. Therefore, even though the first Beit Hamikdash was more grand on both a physical and spiritual level, we feel more the loss of that second Beit Hamikdash. And therefore, again, according to the Ritva, the Pshat of the Bavli, is that the 17th day of Tammuz was instituted, and that then was Oker, the ninth day of Tammuz. It's beyond the scope of this short reporting, but other people discuss this issue in a different vein. I recommend looking at the Minchas Chinuch, who discussed this issue with Parshas Emor, at the end of the mitzvah, speaking about resting on the seventh day of Pesach. The Minchas Chinuch gives a different shot, but clearly bothered by the same question that the Ritva was bothered by. Ad kan divrei ha-Bavli, that is idea. The Bavli, two different historical episodes, two different dates. Now, the Yerushalmi has a different shot altogether. The Yerushalmi said that both during the times of the first Beit Hamikdash and during the times of the second Beit Hamikdash, Yerushalayim was destroyed not on the ninth day of Tammuz, but on the 17th day of Tammuz. So that's the case. The Yerushalmi asked, so why then does the Navi say the ninth day of Tammuz? So the Yerushalmi says, Kilku cheshbonos, namely the people were confused by the cheshbon. It really was the 17th day of Tammuz. But people thought that it was the ninth day of Tammuz. Now that Yerushalmi in and of itself is amazing. Here it was just 17 days earlier. The new moon had been consecrated. The new moon had been identified. But the circumstances were so detrimental. The circumstances were so difficult. The people must have been shut up in their homes. It must have been dark. It must have been a time of absolute panic. It must have been a time of starvation. So much so that they got confused, not by a day, but by 8 days. It was the 17th day of Tammuz. They thought it was the ninth day of Tammuz. The Karban Eidah, however, deals with a question that's even more fascinating. If, in fact, the real date of the destruction of Yerushalayim was on the 17th day of Tammuz, Yirmiyahu HaNavi knew that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that, why was the Navi written afterwards to reflect the wrong date as opposed to the right date? Yirmiyahu said that this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to essentially identify himself, Kaviyachol, with the Jewish people. Imo Anofi B'tzara. Even though historically it was the 17th day, what the people were experiencing Feeling that it was the ninth, feeling just what those days and moments must have been like, because Baruch Hu wrote the pasuk as a way of identifying with the suffering and the experience of the Bnei Yisrael, even though the Navi then recorded the wrong historical date. This Yushalmi is spoken about by Rav Kook and by others in Rav Kook's discussion of trying to reconcile scientific fact, historical fact, but sometimes what the Torah says. Essentially what Rav Kook said was that you have historical truth, you have scientific truth, but there's often a greater truth than simply whether something is correct or not correct, whether it's factually true or not factually true. There is an emotional reality, there is a spiritual reality. And this Yushalmi, these psukim, demonstrate the fact that there's an insistence on the emotional, spiritual reality, and that trumps the historical reality. And thinking about that Yushalmi and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to reflect this midah of Imonofi Vatara, A, it tells us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great love for his people. It reminds us of our own ambition to people of Nosi Bi'olam Chaveiro. I heard many years ago that when Yerushalayim was under siege in 1948, the great Rav, the Rav of Shari Feset, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Charlap, the famed Talmud of Rav Kook, the Maimaro, so he didn't sleep in his bed during the weeks and the months of that war, thinking to himself, how could he sleep in a bed when the city is under such distress? That action of Yaakov Moshe Charlap, very much the reflection of this Yushalmi, that Ima Anochi B'Tzara. And as we celebrate on Yom Yerushalayim the joy of the unification and the reunification of the city, certainly part and parcel of that joy is the recognition that the city was acquired both in 1967 and in so many chapters before then. The city, the Beis HaMikdash, was acquired only through the tears and the loss of life of so many who came before this period of time. Those people during our joy to be in our thoughts and the sensitivity towards their plight should help pave the way for the rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash and of Yerushalayim that can exist and remain firmly entrenched in peace. Thank you.